whole Christmas series, or Advent series, is all about God who comes close. When they talk about Jesus in the Bible, they're prophesying, they're calling him, he should be called Emmanuel, God with us. You know, when God comes close, he comes close in the middle of real life. And real life can be filled with tension. Real life can be filled with, like, kids who smile for pictures and the other kids who aren't wearing a shirt during pictures. And you're like, where's your shirt? Where'd it go? Right? Like, God still comes in the middle of our complex, messy, beautiful, great life. And when God comes close, we get to experience, like, the best. Like I talked earlier, we get to experience God himself. And when God comes close, we experience a hope that invites us to soar. We get to experience a joy that goes, like, that anchors deeper than any other issue, any other encounter we have in life. And today we're talking about when God comes close, we experience a peace that just, like, swallows us up, that totally, totally embodies us. Now, I thought it'd be good to talk about peace in a way that I share a story I've never shared on stage before. So, you're welcome? I don't know. I don't know how what to say to this. But when I was thinking about it, it captures, like, the exact opposite of peace. So my first job was of a pastor ever was in a small town, Wisconsin. I was a youth pastor. And it was my first day as being a pastor. I went to Bible college, got married, and then moved to this small town. When I say small town, I mean, like, maybe a couple thousand people. Very small town. And it was not just my first day. Within my first half hour of ever being a pastor, I was going to a golf course to play with the previous youth pastor, and he was going to introduce me to some other youth pastors in the area, and we were going to play golf. And I love golf. Big fan of golf. And I'm driving there. It's nice out. It's in the summer, and the windows are down. I'm driving my little Ford Escort, and I'm, like, feeling no pain. I'm like, yeah, I'm a pastor, right? And on this back road in small town Wisconsin, all of a sudden this car comes, like, zooming up and gets right on my tail. You know, and that really makes you feel all warm inside, doesn't it? When someone gets on your tail, they're like, oh, they really want to be near me. They must want to get to know who I am. Right? No, what happens? Like, you say, oh, you get angry, and somehow just, like, the proximity of a car feels like it's threatening my way of life. I don't understand why. Why do I get so angry? And it's just on my tail, and I'm going faster than the speed limit. I'm going, you know, Minnesota nice, I'm going 5 over, no more, officer, no more than 5 over, right? And they get on my tail, and, like, they honk the horn. I'm like, what? Is there an emergency? Do I need to pull over and help you? And finally, like, there's no cars coming, and they go do the aggressive, like, over, and they come around, and I'm so worked up. Remember, first half hour of being a pastor ever in my life. And my window's down, and they come zooming by, and without even thinking, like, the initial response that came out of me is that I gave him the bird, all right? Just gave him a bird. It just came out of me. I didn't plan it. It was like, you know what I'm going to do when they pull over? They go over, and I look them right in the eyes. I look them right in the eyes as I'm doing that gesture, right? And they look back at me, and it wasn't until I made eye contact with this elderly, lovely couple, right? I don't know. I say lovely because God bless them, but they had somewhere to go. I looked right in the eyes and I realized I have no idea who's in my church. No idea. I don't know anyone who's in my church other than, like, the staff that hired me. I don't know. This in a small town, they could be, like, the leaders of the small group. They could be, like, watching my kids as I show up. And so for, like, 5 days, I was, like, just stressed out. Like, I'm going to walk in and they're saying, hey, there's a jerk that gave us the bird. And I was saying, there's the jerk that out of my car, and I would have been fired. So, but have you ever been here before? To fill the loop, they did not go to our church, so it's okay, all right? You know, I got squeezed. I got squeezed. And when you get squeezed, what comes out? You find out what's on the inside when you get squeezed, right? You might get squeezed financially. You might get squeezed, like, you being right, your rightness is better than someone else's rightness, gets squeezed. Your quality of life gets threatened, it gets squeezed. People don't laugh at your jokes, get squeezed. The boss walks in and asks about those reports, you get squeezed. Your kids don't get their shoes on when you tell them, you get squeezed. And what comes out? Because when I got squeezed, what came out was Chris. I did not premeditate that, all right? It just came out and it exposed that there's not a whole lot of peace. Like what did get, what got squeezed? Like, what got threatened in that? Was it, like, that I'm a good guy and you're challenging me being a good guy, that I'm a good driver and you think you're a better driver than me and I'll show you. And so when you get squeezed, what comes out? Because you know what the goal is? The world doesn't need a whole lot more of Chris. It really, I'm a big fan of myself. No problem slapping my own back, right? But it doesn't need more of me. Like what Jesus invites us into, when we experience that good and beautiful life with Jesus, our goal is to be a Jesus-looking people. Like, we want to be a Jesus-looking church. Like, who's the church? Who's the church? We are. We're the church. We want to be a Jesus-looking people. That when we get squeezed, what comes out of us is this radical love. It's this life-giving peace. Because when Jesus was coming to the earth, when Jesus came close, there is like songs, there's prophecies, there's angels showing up where they're speaking about peace, where they're talking about peace. In Luke 2, verse 14, says, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Like Mary, there's this beautiful song of Mary when she finds out that she's going to be give birth to Jesus, that she's pregnant. She sings this beautiful song about how like the rich and the favorable get brought down and the poor get lifted up, that the playing field is level. Everybody gets to play. Everybody gets in on this good and beautiful life with Jesus. It's a song of there's peace, there's hope. But I thought about this. Is this just something we just kind of like say as followers of Jesus around Christmas time? We're like, hey, yeah, we're peace, woo, we like peace. But when you look around the world, is there peace? Is there like, you know, peace in the Middle East? Is that a thing? Or is that just a nice thing that we throw around political times? Is there peace in our schools? Is there peace in our families? Is there like peace going on in our community? I don't know. Like, I just read a story this morning about down in Tennessee that these three guys show up at a house and just fired, randomly just fired on these girls. And one kid, a 15-year-old, threw his body in front of the girls so they could live. Like, that's messed up. That is incredibly messed up. So if there's this good and beautiful God, and there's this promise of when he comes, there is peace and goodwill towards men, where is it? Where is that peace? And what is peace? Like, is peace just a lack of something? Is it just a lack of killing? Is it just a lack of yelling in the kitchen? Or is this an invitation of when we experience Jesus, when he comes close to us? Does the peace, like, launch us into something else? See, what I know to be true is that when we experience Jesus, we get his best. And part of that is experiencing life-giving peace from the inside out that is transforming, not just in me, but also around me. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at several scriptures talking about peace, and then we're going to hopefully experience it. And let me just say this, that maybe you're here today, and this whole idea of sharing life with Jesus might be something new. Thank you for coming. Maybe you're here today, and you are not experiencing peace. Like, when I was praying about this message, I just got this picture of people who just put on, like, the smile. I was like, yeah, everything's great. Everything's great, but everything on the inside you feel like is just being ripped apart. You were experiencing a lack of peace. And it might be fear. It might be pain. God has something good for you, not just later. I say this a lot. Not just later, but he's got something good for you now. So even as I pray, I encourage you just to connect with Jesus, whatever that looks like for you, and just receive from him. And I'm going to pray, and please join me. So, Holy Spirit, like God's felt, tangible presence, we welcome you. And I ask, Jesus, that you would come close again. And we make ourselves available to you. Like, this is your church. You could do whatever you want with it. And we say that you are a good and beautiful God who wants good things for us. And I pray, Jesus, that as we talk and as we worship some more, as we pray for one another, that we can experience that, God. We can experience something good. And will you bring peace, peace in our hearts, peace in our minds where we feel just tortured, peace in our homes where we feel there's a coldness, God, peace around Christmas where it feels like we should be having a lot of fun, but we don't always experience that. Let there be peace. And I do pray for peace in our community, that we can be a reflection of who Jesus is. And we love you, God. Amen. So where we're going to start is reading out of Colossians 3, verses 14 and 15. I threw it up on the screen. It's out of the New Living Translation. At any point, we do have Bibles in the back on a table right next to pens. Feel free at any point to grab one of those and use them. But Paul says, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. So above all else, clothe yourselves in love. So everything he's talking about in chapter 3, 2 and 3 of Colossians is like some of my favorite. I love it. And he invites us about putting our hearts and our minds on the things above, to like engage with the kingdom of God, be focused on the kingdom, focused on experiencing Jesus. Talks about how we're in Christ with him. But then he says, but you know, above all else, clothe yourselves in love, that we are to be marked and known by the way we love. You know, clothes can mark you. Clothes can, like, you might have a trademark, you can have a way of, like, people just know, like, oh, that's, like, the way you look, that's what you dress, therefore that looks like a Chris shirt, that looks like a Maria shirt, it looks like a Nick hat. I have a friend, and his name's Nick, and Nick, like, loves wearing bright colors. He loves it, and so do I. And we were going to an establishment in Renshaw for a birthday party. And we walk in Renshaw, and I love Renshaw. If there's any Renshaw Ians here, I love Renshaw, right? And he shows up into this local establishment, and he's wearing his man scarf, right? He went to Europe, and so he brought back with him a scarf, and he wears it all. And I, you know, that's fine. I'm happy for you. But I walked in Renshaw, and he's wearing a scarf. And I instantly saw it. I'm like, who's the guy wearing a scarf in Renshaw, right? And he instantly face got red. He's like, and then everyone else, you know, that's showing the peace of Christ right there, right? Yeah, pointing someone out. Right? But he's marked, he is known by what he has worn. He has like a style. Like, what are we known for? What are we marked by? But Paul is saying, like, clothe yourselves, wear it, wrap yourself, surround yourself, get comfortably warmed by what? By the love of Christ. That what are we are to be known as a community that just loves radically, that loves differently. So, like, what are you known for? Like, if we talk to your kids, talk to your boss, we talk to your clients, your employees, or better yet, like your spouse. Say, hey, you know, Nikki, what is Chris known for? Would it be love? Are we marked? Are we known as a people who love generously, radically, differently? Because really, that's what Paul's inviting us into. That's what Jesus is inviting us into, that we'd be known by the way we love. But then he goes on, right? So wrap yourself in love, and out of that love, what should happen? It says, and let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts. I love this. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. So first, how does Christ rule? How does he rule? When we think of ruling, we think of power. We think of aggression. We think of being able to overtake someone else, and that's how we can rule. It says, like, Christ rules with peace. He rules differently. And actually, the way he rules in peace, he's inviting us to have it on the inside, in our hearts. Because this kind of peace, even when we think about peace, we think of, well, how do you experience peace in this world? It's that, like, our army is stronger than your army, and you will bend to our will and to our policies and our way of life. And if you don't, then we come against you. But if you do follow those rules, then there is peace. So the peace is out of strength. The peace is out of this imminent threat of you fall in line or you pay the price, right? It's like a hockey team. This is a hockey town, right? I have my goon, and if you bring out and hurt one of my guys, the goon's coming out. And then you know what? My goon is bigger than your goon. So if you send your goon out, my goon's going to hurt your goon, right? It's with this threat of hurt, pain, maybe violence. Therefore, everyone falls in line, and there is peace on ice. But that is not, that would be a good Christmas song, Peace on Ice, right? Yeah, I don't know why I said that. How Christ ruled, if you look at the red letters, look at the Gospels. Jesus, day by day, step by step, over and over again, chose to love. Philippians chapter 2, that he put himself in a humble position. He lowered himself to put the needs of the people, everyone, above himself. He ruled with peace. And the peace of Christ is the rule in our hearts. Like, I love this, because even the idea of peace, like, just honestly, for me, is I want peace on other people. Like, in an argument, you have peace, which means I get to be right. You get the peace, you figure it out. I want someone else to deal with peace in my kid's school. Right? Teachers, create the peace. I don't want to get involved. You make the peace happen. With our police officers, God bless them. Thank you. Right? Thank you. But we want them to make sure all the peace is happening. I'm not going to go over to my neighbor's house and ask him to turn his music down. No way. Right? It's some external thing. But he says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. There's this invitation of like Jesus coming, meeting Jesus. He comes close, that it transforms something inward. You know, the way in the kingdom, the way we see external results is not just changing external things. It's about experiencing and receiving something internally. You allow Jesus to come and transform something inside is how we experience a life-giving peace. But it has to start on the inside. And that's hard. Because I don't know about you. I definitely don't experience peace externally sometimes when I get squeezed, but even internally. That means that if I want to, not just I want to, that a sign, a good fruit of a person who's following Jesus, sharing life with Jesus, is on inward out and we'll be a man of peace. That means the way I think, the way that I even just like say words in my head, right? You ever done that before? You're smiling like, yes. The way I talk behind their backs. The way I even use my body to try to intimidate someone. Like I recently had a grown man just run right through me. He saw me, and he decided to walk right through me and hit me, and I backed up, and as a good man, what do? I'll show you who's boss. I felt that aggression. I felt every part of my body tense up, and I had to make a decision right there because this is something that I've been meditating on for, like, forever. Let the peace of Christ rule in my heart. And in that moment, I felt, is that on the inside? Because what I want to do is whoosh, right to the stomach. Hey, no one tells me what to do. Peace of Christ rules in our hearts. So anytime that we have an aggressive thought, anytime we have a hostile word or action or even tense up, is that peace ruling my heart? What rules in your heart? What's ruling? Is it aggression? Is it greed? Is it pleasure? Because honestly, peace is just weird. This whole peace thing is just, it's just odd. Because the kind of peace that he's talking about isn't just a lack of yelling in the kitchen. It isn't just like you and your spouse not like just aggressively yelling at each other and throwing stuff. That's not just a lack of that. The peace that they talk about in the Bible is the word shalom. It's not a lack of something. It's a fulfillment of something. It's an embodiment. It's a richness. It is that you're swallowed up in it. The word shalom is a word, is like greeting. When you see each other, like, oh, shalom. And it doesn't just mean peace. It means that you are in rhythm, in harmony with God himself and the Trinity. You get the richness and the fullness of the kingdom of God. I think about it this way. Like, you're at the cabin. Doesn't that feel good to think about that right now? When I was a kid, we used to go up to Wilmer, my uncle's cabin, and we'd spend all day jumping off the dock. I remember the first time you get there, the first time for the summer, you run and you jump and you hit that cold water and you're totally surrounded by water. I remember looking up and being able to see like the sun and the light come through the water. You can feel like the coldness. You can feel like the tension of the water as you move your hand and your hair's moving around and you feel like on your feet, like being completely immersed by water. That's shalom. That you are completely immersed, completely surrounded by the beauty, by the goodness, by the richness, by the love, by the peace of God himself. That's the kind of peace that he's inviting us into. Not just a lack of something, not just a lack of violence, not a lack of killing, but an embodiment, an enrichment, immersement of love. But this is the weird thing. This kind of peace just doesn't make sense. I wish I could get him here and say, yeah! Matthew 5, Jesus says, hey, you know what? You've heard it said, like an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth and a punch for a punch and a gunshot for a gunshot. But I'm telling you this. I want you to love your enemies. I want you to love them. Like those who like actively want to persecute you, like hurt you. They pray that you will die. Like they stay up at night just wishing and wanting you to have a horrible, horrible death. You know what? Pray for them. And what are you praying for them about? That they experience shalom. That they experience the best of God. That does not make sense. Philippians 4:7 says, I better read it. All right, Philippians 4:7 says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, we use this verse when people are going through like grief. When they're going through a really hard time, and it's true. Like at funerals, sitting with people in loss and grief, and being able to read that verse of, you know, it doesn't make sense right now that you're incredibly sad and you're in pain and you're grieving, you're in loss. It doesn't make sense that a peace could come and rule your heart where you know it's going to be okay. That really doesn't make sense. But the flip side of it is as well. It doesn't make sense where it might be socially acceptable just to blow up on someone, just to rip into your employee that's not producing, to just flip out on your spouse or your kid. The peace of Christ, like beyond understanding, what God is inviting us into just doesn't make sense. Because what do we want to do? Our reaction is to smash an iPad. Have a friend, right? Have a friend. Her son had an iPad, and he wasn't supposed to be playing on it, and they just had so many arguments. You know, parents of teenagers, like, screen time is, like, the thing that I feel like we fight about the most. They're like, they just believe if they just keep asking them, all of a sudden it'll change. Like, yes, of course you can play more video games. That's a great idea, right? How come I didn't think about that? And she saw him playing it, and she walked in, got a hammer, grabbed the iPad, you're playing this, boom, and just smashed it. See? I love that because I think about that all the time. I think about it. I'm like, oh, that would make me feel so good. In that moment, the peace of Christ might not make the most sense. Right? It might, you're like, that's logical. Break the iPad. How about this? Like, you know, you're with your friend or you're with your partner, and they bring up a legitimate like argument or legitimate need that they have. Not argument, a need. Like we teach people when we're doing marriage coaching, like be clear, invite them into your world, invite them into what you want and what you need. That's a beautiful thing. So you can land to their heart. Nikki has done this before. It's always easier for other people, right? But Nikki will come to me and say, hey, Chris, like, do you really have to go golfing today? Right? Can you? And all of a sudden I'm getting squeezed. Because, like, my time and what I think is going to be the best thing for me and my time with my friends and how I want to just blow off some steam, all of a sudden that's being threatened. She's just asking in a perfect, singing, beautiful way, like, Chris, do you have to go golfing? All right? Like, there's no threat, zero threat. And then how do I respond? Right? Oh, of course, Nikki, thank you for sharing your feelings. I validate those, and I will lay down my life to serve you. There's a peace in my heart for you, right? No! You know how I respond? I'm like, fine! I'm just going to, like, sell my golf clubs. I'm going to light it. Let's go get my golf shoes. Let's just burn them. Let's light them on fire. We'll dance around it, right? We'll tell all my friends that I'm never playing golf again. I'll post on Facebook, I hate golf. Right? Right? That's a way to land to your wife's heart, by the way. Just go way over the top and use it as a weapon. They love it. They love it. In those moments, honestly, in that moment, I see some of you hugging your wives right now. Like, oh, honey. I'm glad I'm not that bad, right? In those moments, the idea of having the peace of Christ rule in my heart does not seem all that attractive, right? There's times where we just want to melt down. It feels good. But that's the mark of a kingdom person, is that we will be a people of peace. That peace will actually rule. It will trump. It will come out of us. And times it just doesn't make sense. And how do we do this then? Because any time that we respond with hostility in our thoughts, we are not partnering in the kingdom. Any time we respond in hostility or like vengeance, maybe even fear, maybe even hate. Like, if I asked people, hey, do you want this kind of, like, life-giving, totally surrounded life with God, a peace that is in rhythm and harmony with the Trinity, that you're totally swallowed up by that kind of love and peace? I bet a majority of people say, of course I want that. Not too many people would say, look, Chris, I think you're underselling the whole idea of being an incredibly angry father. That, you know, people love that, Chris. My kids really love me when I yell at them all day long about things that they can never accomplish, right? Chris, you're underselling the whole idea of being racist. Chris, come on, man. I have to let those people know of who I am and how much better I am. Come on, Chris. That's a good thing. There's no one that would say that. But it's so easy to just become the social norm of using aggression, using intimidation, of using fear, instead of being clothed by the love of Christ and letting letting the peace of Christ rule. But how do we do this? How do we do this? Again, one thing you're going to hear me say is I never want to get to a point where it's just a try harder message of, oh, if only you would have tried harder, then maybe you could have had peace. Sorry, come back next week. How we do this is this. This is why that Jesus Christ is the hope for the world. This is the only way we can experience this is in Jesus. You see, when you, like, surrender, we talk about this a lot. When you surrender your life to Jesus, we use different kinds of words. Like, we want to share life with Jesus. What does that really mean? It means this. Like, we pass around the offering baskets, right? It's a way we worship God, by giving him our best. Giving our best of our money, our time, our energy, relationships, all of it. But let's pretend like that basket's getting passed around, and you might throw like a part of your heart in it and say, all right, you know, my fear for my kids, I'm going to throw that in the heart. All right, God, you got it. Maybe say, you know, I'm going to put like my career, and I just have to trust you that you have something good for me. I'm going to put that in there. It might be, oh, I'm going to put like my marriage. God, this is really, I'm going to put that in the basket. Like what Jesus invites us into when he says, pick up your cross, follow me, it means that we're just putting like a little bit in the basket. It means that we crawl ourselves, get into the basket, saying, God, you get all of me. You get every single part of me. And when we do that, when we say yes to Jesus in that way, then we get launched from this address of what they talk about, the kingdom of darkness, where we're in the dark. We get launched into the kingdom of God. And our new address is actually in Christ. Throughout the New Testament, again and again and again, it talks about how we're not just near Jesus. When we say yes to Jesus, we just don't get like hang out in the same like VIP lounge and say, yeah, I'm with him. Jesus is over there, I'm with him. It's not just like we get to like high five Jesus and we just get to use him as like a motivational speaker. It talks about how we are in Jesus. How we get to move when he moves. We get to go where he goes. We get the access of like the love and the peace and the Spirit of God. We get to tap right into it because we're in Christ Jesus. Several verses, they're going to throw them up here. In Philippians 4:7, the one we just read, it says, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old one is gone. Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus, do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Colossians 3:3, for you have died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ is who your life appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. How do we experience a life-giving peace, a life-giving hope, a joy that anchors us? It's when we say yes to Jesus. It's like offering God our best. Living a life in the kingdom is like being open-handed. It's like trusting God. You get to put in whatever you want. You get to take out whatever you want. But what do most of us do? We do this. Maybe tight-fisted, or we kind of do this a little bit, or kind of like this. Like, God, you can have all these different areas of my life, but I got to hold on to this one. And it's scary. Like, trusting Jesus with everything in your life is scary. Why? Because we think, well, what if he does? Like, what if I don't get like the dream I have from my retirement? Like people will talk to people like, well, if I say, God, you get to send me wherever you want, God's going to punish me by sending me to some like island in the middle of nowhere where I just cry myself to sleep every night. That's a picture that we think God is out to punish us. When we can trust God and say, God, you are good, and what you have for me is peace, hope, joy, kindness. I want you to put that in me. Then we get the best. All right, here's where I end. Some tips, right? I got to read it, right? There are three simple ways to not get arrested in Walmart or become a hot mess this Christmas, right? Better write that one down. So it starts by us engaging with God. That's where it starts. And if you've never done that before, you've never like put your whole life in with Jesus. Maybe I'm biased. that is where I experience that life-giving joy. Even the way here, I'm going off topic, even the way here with my kids and their Kira is like, she just makes up songs, and my daughter, she makes up songs in the back, and my son Cole like asks me a million questions about sports that I have no idea what the answers are, right? And we're driving, and I just felt that joy of God saying, I have such a beautiful family. I'm driving to a church that I am absolutely in love with. I get to experience God that's doing good things. And that starts when I say yes to Jesus. If you've never done that, today in a little bit, you're going to have the opportunity just to like respond to Jesus and share life with Jesus. But, all right, so this Christmas, then how can we let peace really happen? The first one is this, is ask God to put love in you for the people you know that will make you lose it. Right? Honestly, this holiday season, you know who's going to get you. Like, oh, maybe this. I do. I know what people are going to push my buttons. They're going to ask political questions. They're going to make, honestly, they're going to make maybe some kind of racist joke. And I know it's going to get awkward and tense and just like look down and say, all right, not going to bring that up. So what are we supposed to do? We can pray. Jesus says, pray for those who persecute you. Pray for those who persecute you. You know, one thing I've learned in working in a larger church and having larger staff is that there's times where people are just going to bother the crap out of me. They're going to bother me. And what I've learned is I always want to make it about them. I always want to make it like, oh, John again. He's going to come ask me all these questions. Oh, John, just get off my case, right? That's not John's issue. That's not John's problem. That's me. I've learned that's a big indicator, big flashing light that I'm not praying enough for John. Because when I'm like in sync with God, when I'm praying, and not just praying, oh, God, will you just let John stop being such a jerk? That's the wrong prayer, right? But I say, will you let John experience the life-giving hope of Jesus, that he can have life to the fullest? God, do great things in him. You know what's funny? That changes my heart. I want to partner with God and being a blessing to John. So this holiday season, one way you can like access that peace is just pray. God, will you do great things in my crazy Uncle Jim? Second thing you can do is get to the root. Get to the root. What I mean by that is this, is that when the anger comes out, that's not the issue. That's the response. That's like the bad fruit. If we had a tree, right? The reason you have bad fruit isn't, it's not the fruit's fault. It's that there's bad roots. The root is in like maybe bad soil. There's something toxic that it's drawing life from. So when you get angry, when you respond in hostile, aggressive, or racist ways, the problem isn't like how loud you are. It's, oh, what got threatened? What got squeezed? And it's in those moments where you get to really grow. It's in those moments, it's really hard. Like, for me, something that keeps coming up again and again and again is that, where am I getting my acceptance from? I want to get my acceptance as being a big, strong man, as being a great husband, as being, like, the best dad. And those are all great things. But when I do that, then I'm going to perform instead of what? Going back to Jesus again and again, saying, God, only you can validate me. Only you get to tell me who I am. And what comes out of me instead of just performing, what comes out of me instead of just anger when I don't perform and beat myself up, I'm saying, such a bad husband, I'm such a loser dad. Anyone else feel that way? You just get on yourself of how bad you are? That is not a kingdom life. It's going back to Jesus, back to roots, saying, I want to draw life from you. Man. Okay, then the third thing you can do then is this. So we're going to like pray for those who persecute us, pray for those who bother us. We're going to ask God to expose those roots. And the third one this holiday season is have fun. Have fun. It's easy as followers of Jesus, easy in church to say, to go back and like, okay, we're gonna like get self-aware and we're gonna cry and we're gonna pray, oh God, please come. But we sometimes miss out that part of that good and beautiful life, part of that John 10:10 of living life to the fullest, is that he wants you to have fun. Like laugh. Bless each other. Smile. Eat lots of food. Well, eat some food. Enjoy. Be present. Because there is going to be tension. There is going to be opportunities to lose it. But even then, God is inviting you in to this good and beautiful life. In that moment, he came close to us so we could experience the best of him, so that we can invite people and let them experience a peace in the moment of craziness. And why do we do this? Why does Jesus invite us into peace? Here's why. Because he's crazy about you. God is crazy about you. He wants us to have a life of peace instead of tearing each other down, instead of landing punch for punch. He wants us to bring life and beauty and hold up a mirror of how beautiful this world is in Jesus. There's real hope. There's real joy. So instead of reacting with pain or fear, we can respond with and be marked with love. I want to be a community. Hold on. I want to be a man. I want to be a part of a community that we can be marked by and known by the way we love. And out of that, we have a life-giving peace wherever we go. That we're like a thermostat of like the spiritual temperature in Carlton County instead of a thermometer. So just reflecting social norms, we as a Vineyard Church, we as kingdom people, we're dialing up the spiritual temperature and saying there's a good God who wants good things for you. And what's it marked by? It is by love, it is by peace. Why don't you stand? Let's pray. When in the Christmas story, when they're singing this whole idea of that there's peace on earth, goodwill towards men, they're talking about Jesus, right? When Jesus comes, there's going to be peace, there's going to be life, there's going to be goodwill. What Jesus is inviting us into is to be like him, to be a Jesus-looking people. So essentially, when we sing those Christmas songs about peace and goodwill and joy, we're singing about ourselves. We're singing about God. You have done these amazing things, but then he's asking us to be Jesus in our community, to be that peace in the world, to be that change that we all want and we all hope, we're all desperate for. We get to be that change in our world. So as I pray, I'm going to invite God's presence just to come close. And for me, one thing that I do, I want to receive from Jesus. And one way that helps me is I hold open my hands. And I don't hold open my hands because it's a trick. It's not some like magical way of getting God's attention so he focuses on me instead of you over here. It's a way of like me reflecting externally. Like, God, I want to be open-handed to all the things you have for me. And physically I'm doing this as a way of showing and resembling something inward. I want my heart to receive all that you have for me. So if you're here, and maybe you want to be like just marked and known as a man of peace, as a woman of peace, as a child of peace, maybe a family of peace, maybe a coach of a volleyball of peace and love. Like, I would encourage you just receive that. Because God wants peace to rule in your heart. Let's pray. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. And I ask that your love, your kingdom, your life, it would just like move in. Yeah, it would move in right like at the front door, God. At the front door of our house, we open it up and say, you get to go into any room you want, God. You have access to every room in my heart. Move the furniture any way you want. And that it will be known as people walk through that house, as they walk by my life, as they see me engage in life, in my relationships with my friends, my family. What they see is love. What they see is love. So I ask, God, that you would put that in us right now. That we'd be clothed, we'd be immersed, that we'd be like in the total water, everything about us marked by love. And I ask Jesus right now, this is for some of you, that you would dial up that thermostat of peace. Yeah, turn it up, God. So that when we get squeezed this holiday season, we get squeezed at work, we get squeezed by reading the emails, what comes out is love. What comes out is peace. What comes out is joy. What comes out is hope. Use us, Jesus, to be a thermometer, a thermostat in our county. Amen. We're going to worship for a while. Thank you for coming to the Vineyard. And have a great, great, great holiday. We'll see you Christmas Eve.